Franciscan saint of the day, February 19th, Saint Conrad of Piacenza, confessor, third order. Conrad was born at Piacenza, Lombardy, in the year 1290, of a very noble family, and while still quite young, he married Euphrosyne, the daughter of a nobleman of Lodi. He had a great fondness for chivalrous sports and was an eager hunter. One time when out hunting, his quarry hid itself in dense underbrush. To force it into the open, Conrad directed his attendants to set fire to the brushwood. The wind, however, drove the flames upon a nearby grain field, where it continued to spread, destroying the entire crop and a large forest besides. The governor of Piacenza at once sent out armed men to apprehend the incendiary. Filled with consternation at the unfortunate turn of the conflagration, Conrad meanwhile fled into the city along certain lonely roads. The posse, however, came upon a poor peasant who had gathered a bundle of charcoals and was carrying them into the city. Believing him to be the guilty person, the men seized him. He was tortured on the rack until they wrung from the poor man a statement that he had set fire to the woods out of sheer spite. He was condemned to death. Not until the unfortunate victim was passing Conrad's house on the way to execution did Conrad learn why the sentence of death had been imposed on the peasant. Driven by his conscience, Conrad rushed out, saved the man from the hands of the bailiffs, and before all the people acknowledged that he was the guilty person. He went to the governor and explained that the conflagration was the result of a mishap, that he was willing to repair all the damage done. His wife joined him in his goodwill and sacrificed her dowry to assist in making restitution. The incident taught Conrad the vanity of the goods of this world, and he resolved to give his attention only to eternal goods. He communicated his sentiments to his wife and found that she entertained the same ideas. She went to the convent of Poor Clares and received the veil there, while Conrad, who was only 25 years old, left his native town and joined a group of hermits of the Third Order. In a very short time, he made such progress in virtue that the fame of his sanctity attracted many of his former friends and acquaintances to his hermitage. But it was Conrad's wish to forsake the world completely, so he slipped away to Rome and from there went to Sicily, to the Noto Valley, near Syracuse, where he hoped he could remain unknown and in utter seclusion. He lived there for 36 years, the last of which he spent in a lonely cave on a height since named Mount Conrad. There, Conrad lived an extremely penitential life, sleeping on the bare earth and taking only bread and water with some wild herbs for nourishment. Nevertheless, he was subjected to some of the most terrible assaults of the devil. But by means of prayer and bodily chastisement, he put the evil spirit to flight and became so pleasing to God that he was granted the gifts of prophecy and of miracles. When Conrad perceived that his end was drawing near, he went to Syracuse to make a general confession of his life to the bishop. On the way, flocks of birds flew about him and perched on his shoulders, as they used to do to Saint Francis. And on the way back to his solitude, they accompanied him again, to the astonishment of all whom he met. On the very same day, he was seized with a fever, which resulted in his death a few days later. He was kneeling before an image of the crucified when he peacefully passed away on February 19th, 1351. In accordance with his wishes, he was buried in the church of St. Nicholas at Noto, where his remains still repose in a silver shrine. Many miracles have taken place there. In the year 1515, Pope Leo X permitted his feast to be celebrated at Noto. Urban VIII canonized him in 1625. On making restitution. Conrad and his wife generously put up their entire fortune to repair the damage caused, without even stopping to think whether they were really bound to make restitution. As a matter of fact, the damage was the result of a mischance rather than any guilt on Conrad's part. But the Spirit of God urged him, after overcoming his first fear, to do rather too much than too little. As Zacchaeus said to our Lord, "If I have wronged any man of anything, I restore him fourfold." Luke 19:8. And how did Almighty God reward Conrad's magnanimity? The apparent misfortune turned out to be his greatest fortune. Without doubt, he would have lived as an ordinary distinguished gentleman, and as such he would have died and appeared before the judgment seat of God. True, he now led a hard life of severe penance, but at heart he was much happier than before, and he is today numbered among the saints of heaven. Thus are sacrifices made for conscience' sake rewarded by God 1,000 times. Consider that it is a strict duty to restore what one has unjustly acquired, and to repair the damage one has caused, be it through malice or through guilty carelessness. If the sinner do penance for his sins, says the Holy Ghost, and do judgment and justice, and restore the pledge and render what he has robbed, he shall surely live and shall not die. Ezekiel 33:14. To regret the wrong done and to confess it is not sufficient. Even if you have prayed much and given plenteous alms on that account, it does not help. The sin will not be remitted, says St. Augustine, if that which has been taken is not restored, if it can be restored. If you are not in a position to restore, or to restore to the full extent, or if you fear the loss of your good name in consequence, then consult your confessor. He will be able to point out means and ways of fulfilling your obligation and of quieting your conscience. In serious matters of this nature, have you perhaps set your conscience at rest by means of empty excuses? Consider that in cases where it is entirely impossible to make restitution, a Christian that is interested in his salvation will strive to repair the injustice of which he has been guilty according to his means and as well as he is able. He can do that, for instance, by prayer, by offering up holy masses, by penance and other good works, applying the merits to the injured person. In this way, he can hope that God will restore what he is physically unable to restore. In a similar way, we must all make restitution to God for whatever we enjoyed against the will of God and his commandments, by intemperance, sensuality, and the like, making amends by mortification and renunciation for sins committed by indulging the senses. May the example and intercession of St. Conrad animate us in such atonement. Prayer of the Church. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that as thou wert pacified by the penance of blessed Conrad, so we may imitate his example and blot out the stains of our sins by crucifying our flesh. Through Christ our Lord. Saint Conrad of Piacenza,
pray for us.
Music. Thank you.